Welcome, everyone, to Power Bytes. I am your host, Lou Signorelli, and Power Bytes is your destination podcast for power generation conversation. As always, please know how much we appreciate you, our listeners. We hope you find our topics both helpful and interesting. There are several ways for you to get in touch with the show. You can send us an email at powerbytes, it's power, B-Y-T-E-S, at cat.com. Visit us at Cat Electric Power on Facebook or LinkedIn. Please remember to subscribe to our podcast if you enjoy your time with us today. You know, in all my travels around the world, when I tell people I work for Caterpillar, everyone seems to know the company for different reasons. Some know us for construction equipment, some for our mining technologies, some for our industry-leading gensets, and in Europe particularly, I often hear how good Cat boots are. Yes, that's right, you heard right. I said Cat boots. But I never hear about the very topic we're going to talk about today, fuels. That's right, fuels. You see, Caterpillar has some of the most experienced fuel experts around. How else can you lead the power generation industry if you don't consider fuels, right? Makes sense to me. So joining me today to discuss fuels is Hind Abi-Akar. Hind received her PhD in material science from the University of Alabama. Hind has been with Cat for 25 years and is presently a lubricants and fuel technical expert. Hind, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Lou. My pleasure to participate.
So Hind, first let's start with you. What has your experience been when you tell people that you are with Caterpillar and tell them that you're a fuels expert?
Oh, raised eyebrows, confusion. I'm often asked, but you are the big yellow. What do you have to do with fuels? I'm not surprised, though. Think of your car. Whatever your car model and brand is, you stop at any filling station anywhere in the world, fill up, no questions asked, and expect the fuel to work with your engine technology. The enabler of this remarkable availability and compatibility is a whole army of experts who work behind the scenes to make sure there are clear and useful specifications for fuel characteristics that work in any engine and that can be produced by refineries globally. So we, as OEMs, we sit at the table with fuel producers and chemical producers at standard society and in specific fuel committees and work on the details of fuel specs and fuel quality. These are in-depth, detailed discussions that are governed by strict rules to ensure transparency and clarity, both for users and producers. Another layer of importance to this collaboration is that fuel specifications are adopted by governments, states, municipalities, and others. And these become part of the definition of fuel and are specified in regulations. So having quality fuel available is governed by the law in many regions. Diesel fuel technically fuels the economy and is a critical product. There is significant focus on this product by governments worldwide. Given this long-winded explanation, hopefully now it's clear why we are deeply involved in diesel fuel to support industries anywhere they operate.
And that's a fascinating discussion. Thank you very much for taking us through that. Most everyone is familiar with diesel fuel. In power generation, we most predominantly use number two diesel. So let's leave that aside and dive into some of the other fuels that are available and why folks should consider them.
Lou, as you know, as a global company, we are in every corner of the world supporting energy and progress. We encounter every fuel that might be potentially used. In addition to number two, we can use number one diesel, jet fuels, biodiesel, HVO, and GTL. If that's not enough, depending on the application and engine design, marine fuels, heavy fuel oils, bunker fuels, even crude oils can be used in our engines. Pyrolysis fuels and other new developments can also be used.
And some of these I've not even heard of. Wow. Let's start with the more well-known fuel we call biodiesel. Can you tell us a little bit about biodiesel And is there any special considerations for using it?
Sure. Biodiesel is a rather well-known renewable fuel that has been on the market in certain countries for close to 20 years. Biodiesel can be made from vegetable oils like soy, palm, corn. It can be made from used cooking oil, like from restaurants, French fries, deep frying, food processing. It can also be made from animal fats, like chicken fat, tallow, pork, and also can be derived from algae. Even waste processing, like sewage, for example, can produce brown grease that can be used for biodiesel. Notice that all of these oils and fats are renewable resources and of low carbon footprint. Now, oils and fats are processed by esterification in order to transform them into biodiesel fuel that can combust effectively in the engine. So following up on the theme we started earlier, biodiesel fuels have to be per specifications in order to work properly. This fuel, biodiesel, can be blended into diesel fuels at various levels, 5%, 20%, or other blends. We provide guidance and recommendations to all our engine models in our fluid specification publications to facilitate the use of biodiesel.
Thank you, and that's very interesting. Now, you mentioned something I've not heard of, GTL. What is that?
Oh, we love acronyms. GTL is the acronym of gas to liquid, which is the processing of natural gas to liquid fuel, typically through a process called Fischer-Tropsch. Natural gas that was flared in many cases is instead used to produce high-quality drop-in replacement for diesel fuel. Basically, you transform natural gas, which has very high greenhouse gas impact, into a fuel. Natural gas has 25 times the greenhouse gas impact compared to carbon dioxide. So just producing fuel from excess natural gas reduces greenhouse gas and replaces petroleum fuel. Now, HVO and GTL have the same chemistry and same specs. Both are high paraffinic fuels, which is a subset of the diesel fuel chemistry and can be used in our engines at any blend levels. Users of GTL need to know that this fuel has lower energy content than diesel and may result in some reduction of power output when used at 100%.
Yeah, it's good to keep track of that. You know, for years, I've been hearing that we will one day be able to run our cars on vegetable oil. Did I hear that you mentioned that when you said HVO?
Glad I did not lose you with all these acronyms. Yes. I mentioned HVO, hydrotreated vegetable oil. This is not straight vegetable oil, but vegetable oil or animal fat that has been processed by hydrotreating. In essence, both HVO and biodiesel are derived from the same vegetable oils, used cooking oil, fats. But for HVO, these oils are then hydrotreated in a refinery-like operation to produce high paraffinic fuel replacement, while biodiesel is esterified to produce oxygenated fuel. Now, specification for HVO is different than that of biodiesel. And not to confuse any of our listeners, but it's useful to add that HVO and GTL has to be per EU 15940 spec and meet all the requirement of the U.S. diesel fuel spec. I prefer, though, that we use and refer to EN15940 since it has more characteristics specific to HVO and GTL fuels than diesel fuel spec. To be clear, raw vegetable oil is not a fuel and does not combust properly in the engine, despite what you may read on the internet. Once processed, either into biodiesel or into HVO, then it can be readily used as a fuel. The advantage is that these are renewable fuels, not new carbon dioxide source. Both biodiesel and HVO also reduce certain emissions from engines. Hence, they even have even more of an advantage.
Well, thanks for straightening me out. I will not be putting raw vegetable oil in my car anytime soon. Thank you for that. And here, you know, everybody likes to go fast. Did I hear you right? Did you really say jet fuel? Was that on your list of drop-in diesel fuels?
You certainly can use jet fuels. They will not make you go fast, but they can help you start your engine if you are in Antarctica. As you know, jets operate at high altitudes, and the external temperature can be minus 50 degrees C. And jet fuels do not gel. Even at these very low temperatures, they remain fluid. This is why either 100% jet fuels or a blend with number two diesel is used to allow starting in cold climates. Winters in North America, Canada, Siberia, or other cold climates where we have our equipment operate. To give you more details, we allow the use of JP8, JP5, JET-A, or JET-A1, with some caveats related to viscosity. If used at 100%, these jet fuels allow starting at low temperatures, but also have lower energy content than diesel fuel and lower viscosity. We do have limits related to the viscosity to ensure that the fuel does not cause wear in the fuel pump or fuel injection system.
That's very interesting. I had no idea. I want to get to the final item on your list of alternative fuels from plastics, pyrolysis, etc. What are those fuels?
It's interesting to say that the efforts to transform waste into fuels are not actually new. But now, these efforts are progressing at a faster pace due to the need to reduce GHG of fuels. We follow these efforts and we experiment with new fuels, sometimes during the development phase, to better understand their applications in our engines and to guide the developing companies or research centers. So, pyrolysis is the process of heating a product, which can be wood, plastic, tires, or others under certain conditions, then processing these products to transform them into fuels that can combust in engines. Some of pyrolysis fuels can be very high in sulfur, like those produced from tires. Some can be of very high acidity and need to be neutralized. So, harping on the same theme, if these fuels are per specifications, they can be used as a blend with diesel or even as a fuel. Again, we provide guidance on pyrolysis fuels in CAT Fluids publications. And as usual, we can be reached for help in understanding a certain fuel.
It's certainly helpful to have an expert as you attempt to use different fuels, without a doubt. So, do you see trends that may be of interest to our fuel consumers and users?
Global trends is an area that we follow closely. We talked about the renewable aspects and advancements in fuels. There is another aspect that's also moving in the right direction globally, the reduction of sulfur in fuels. Diesel fuels can contain sulfur up to 3% or more, very high number. Sulfur emissions can become sulfuric acid, which causes environmental damage and is related to health issues. Sulfur reduction from diesel happens only by refining processes and requires commitments and large financial investments, sometimes from governments. Lower sulfur fuels are much better for engines. They cause less deposits and allow longer engine oil life. It is a trend we do follow. The good news is that we see sulfur levels in fuels are decreasing globally and hope that this trend continues. Low sulfur fuels also allow the use of advanced engine technologies with after-treatment devices that significantly reduce engine emissions.
And that's impressive. It really sounds like Caterpillar is at the forefront of fuels in their development. Would you agree?
Absolutely. Caterpillar has aggressive sustainability goals, and the goals of industry are the top of our mind. We actually are at the forefront of fuel developments to satisfy our CAT sustainability goals, our customer needs anywhere, and our engineering needs to design robust and durable engines and machines that our customers expect from us.
Well, there you have it, folks. I'd like to thank Hind Abi Akkar for sharing her insights with us today. And thank you, our listeners, for listening to Power Bytes. For more information, go to parts.cat.com, select fuels, then the reference tab for all of Caterpillar's fuel specifications and much, much more. If you'd like to suggest other topics for our program or have some feedback to share, please write us here at PowerBytes, that's Power B-Y-T-E-S, at cat.com, or visit us on Cat Electric Power on Facebook or LinkedIn. Please remember to subscribe to our podcast wherever you listen to your favorite podcast. Till next time, thanks for listening to Power Bytes and have a great rest of your day.